Behind the Wheel with Joel Helms.
You know she needs attention, so take her for a ride. She loves to go out.
And hello, yes, it's Joel Helms filling in for Chris Miller and Peter Hitchener. The boys taking a very well-deserved break over the Easter period. And I hope you're well. There's certainly plenty happening in the motoring world at the moment. There's new cars coming left, right and centre. And all the fun and games continues on. And, well, I guess, what would we ever do if it stopped? It would be rather boring and we'd be out of a job. But anyway, Sean Hanley, he's the boss of Toyota Australia. Toyota, of course, being the top-selling car brand in Australia. They've had an interesting few months. Of course, the end of Australian car production for Toyota. But they've also managed to continue to be the top-selling brand. They've launched new models such as the all-new Camry, which is an imported model. They've got other new vehicles on the way, including an all-new Corolla, an all-new RAV4 as well, and the return of the Toyota Supra. So we'll hear from Sean Hanley very soon, the boss of Toyota Australia, all about what's been going on at Toyota in recent times. There's some really good vehicles available on the market in 2018. One of them is the Skoda Superb. If you're looking for a large car, not many cars in the large car segment anymore. Commodore's downsized to midsize, of course, and the Falcon's gone. But the Skoda Superb is still there. I've had a drive. I'll tell you all about the Skoda Superb. A car that I've never had a drive of, and it was a first time too for Alan Zervas. He had the keys to Godzilla, the Nissan GT-R. We'll hear Alan Zervas's review of the Nissan GT-R, what he liked about it, what he didn't like about it. He'll tell us all about it soon, an interesting review. Another vehicle from the Skoda and Volkswagen family, the Volkswagen Arteon, an all-new model. Of course, Chris and Peter have had the keys to it this week, but I'll tell you all about my time in the Arteon as well this week. And we'll also go French. Simon Lai has been driving the Renault Megane wagon, so a review of that one on this edition of Behind the Wheel as well. There's been some interesting study findings regarding kids, pets, and disabled parking spots from the UK and the USA. We'll have a look at those. And our car song of the week this week, we're reintroducing the car song of the week just momentarily, but George Harrison with a song that pays tribute to the heroes of Formula One racing. Well, Toyota continues to go from strength to strength in Australia, consistently proving to be the most popular car brand on our shores. Sean Hanley, boss of Toyota Australia, tells us that that's something they never take for granted.
You know, I always look at the Australian market very carefully. It is one of the most competitive markets in the world. We have in excess of 50 brands represented in the market of just over 1.1 million. So it's a really crowded market. And frankly speaking, you know, there's very good competition, and they have, and our competition have very good cars. And, you know, I'm never scared to say that to people, because the fact is our industry is very mature, and our different manufacturers and brands put out some very good motor cars, there's no doubt. So we never take our leadership for granted.
Well, Sean was also really pleased to see the new generation Camry get off to a strong start in the Aussie market.
Camry, though, that's really exciting for Toyota is the fact that our hybrid order intake is well over 40% sales mix. So, you know, we brought this car in concentrating on hybrid, and we brought it in at a wonderful position. In fact, the hybrid's the hero of the Camry lineup, and we're seeing the market respond very well to it. Look, I know it's quite early in the launch, and there'll probably be some level of normalisation as we progress post-launch phase, but I still do believe that our hybrid mix on Camry will be in excess of 20% going forward. And it does suggest to us quite clearly that if you position the vehicle right, if you put the right specification in, and you give a good performing engine and powertrain, then people will drive hybrid in Australia.
And Sean Hanley, boss of Toyota Australia, expects the new Camry to continue to lead the mid-size passenger car segment, despite competition from models such as the new Commodore.
The design and look of the vehicle in itself brings a new exciting direction for Toyota. I expect the Camry CBU, the imported car, to be the number one in this segment in 2018.
And there's more new product coming from Toyota, including an all-new RAV4 and an all-new Corolla hatch.
The point is with this new Corolla is the pictures truly don't do it justice. It is a wonderful, sportier, looking dynamic vehicle in every sense. And the one that we launched in Geneva, frankly, was almost identical to the production model that will be coming to Australia in the third quarter of this year. Some slight only, Joel, variations in styling that will be confirmed close to the launch. And we expect that the Corolla, with its sportier look, with the two engine variants, both hybrid and petrol, will be launched in this car at that timing in Australia. We certainly do expect that Corolla will continue with its sales dominance right through 18 this year and through 19. It's a truly dynamic, sportier looking car, and it has wonderful lines, particularly on the roof lines, but ergonomically, it's very efficient as well.
While Sean Hanley has also paid tribute to the huge contribution that Hilux continues to make to Toyota's success in Australia.
The car that's driving, frankly, all of the sales, big sales results. The number one selling car in Australia for the last 2 years has been a Hilux Ute. Who would have thought 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that the Australian market would be talking about a utility being the largest selling vehicle in Australia? I think Hilux just has an outstanding reputation. In May, we actually launched three new variants of Hilux in the market, a Rugged X, and a Road, and we expect really big result from those three variants. They're kind of like a level 3 plus car, and they're designed for off-road and on-road capability. They're far more significant than bolt-on accessories, all right? These are built cars right here in Melbourne.
And lastly, Sean, is there a Toyota Supra finally on the horizon?
We haven't confirmed Supra for the Australian market, but look, Joel, let me just say to the audience and to the listeners, we are super keen to get Supra in Australia, so we'll be doing everything possible to bring that car to market here. Be sure of that. And the reason for that is because Supra is one of the most beloved Toyota cars of all time. When you talk about passenger sports cars and affordable passenger sports cars back in the day, Supra was the car of choice, right? It's a nameplate that commands deep respect, and there's been huge public interest in reviving the name. I can tell you that from first-hand experience. A lot of people over many years talk about two sports cars they think Toyota, Celica back in the day, and indeed Supra. So the concept that we launched in, the Gazoo Racing concept we launched in Geneva recently, points to a sports car that I believe, certainly that our chief engineer and our global company believes, is a car, sports car deserving of the famous name, that being Supra.
Thanks to Sean Hanley for his time and to bring us up to date with some of the recent developments at Toyota. After the break, two wagon reviews. Simon tells us all about the Renault Megane, and I've had the keys to the Skoda Superb. The ideal family vehicle has seven seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious, and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180kW engine, 8-speed auto transmission, and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With 7 seats, great off-road ability, and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts. This is Behind the Wheel, powered by behindthewheel.com.au.
Welcome back to Behind the Wheel. Great to have your company. It's Joel Helms filling in for Chris and Peter this week. The boys will be back with you next week. In the meantime, let's cross over to Simon Lai. Simon's been driving the Renault Megane wagon.
Thanks, Joel. In the middle of last year, I test drove the Renault Megane hatchback range and was left rapt by the experience. This time round are the wagon versions of the Megane, which turned out to be equally as impressive. The GT and GT line wagons boast the same 1.6-litre and 1.2-litre turbo petrol engines, coupled with a 7-speed sports automatic transmission with dual clutch. Performance in each is, as it was in the hatch, outstanding. And this is taking into account the increase in size. In fact, if you don't look behind, you'd swear you're still in the hatch. The feel of the drive is dynamic and sporty, making it a breeze to maneuver around anything through the direct steering while taking in the bumps well. While the smaller of the two power plants is more than adequate for the average driver and does a nice job of climbing hills and overtaking, the 1.6-litre GT just has that little bit extra. Even in neutral mode, you'll happily leave others in your wake. It possesses an amazing amount of power, and the RS Drive Sport mode is almost not needed. There can be such a thing as too much power in an instance, and the GT tends to hold the gears at higher revs, so you'll need to give it more space or resort to the long paddle shifters. Under hard acceleration, it can get a bit untamed if you don't keep the wheel under control. The engine note is also matched to suit the sportiness with a nice, meaty growl. Fuel economy came out at around 9 litres per 100 kilometres between the two models, and I profess I was making the most of the available grunt. Again, the interior is identical to the hatchback with great interior styling, R-Link vertical touchscreen interface and racing-style bucket seats with blue trim in the GT. The heated seats are dressed in felty fabric and are well bolstered, which keeps you in position but sometimes gets in the way of movement. The Megane cabin is refined, sporty and ambient lighting adds that extra touch, changing colour to match the selected drive mode. Of course, as a station wagon, there is awesome boot space with 510 litres of capacity that can be sectioned off with a cargo blind and comes with two removable floor panels. Rear seats, meanwhile, can be easily let down with a spring-loaded one-touch release system in the boot. There are no powered seats, but almost every other default feature is fitted as standard, such as sat-nav, dual climate control, a sunroof, adaptive cruise control, and all the driver assist technology. I love a good station wagon, despite their waning popularity, though the Renault Megane wagon is definitely helping its cause. The Renault Megane GT wagon is priced from $33,990 and the GT from $39,990.
Thanks to Simon for that review of the Renault Megane, always a good little vehicle. To something quite different now. We go from France to the Czech Republic for the Škoda Superb 162 TSI. Now, the Superb is a large wagon that's well worth investigating, in my opinion, should you require plenty of space. But you're also one of those people that just doesn't want to have an SUV. The 5-seat wagon boasts excellent legroom front and rear and really generously sized cargo space as well. While pricing, especially here in the entry-level 162 TSI variant, is very competitive as well, you're looking at a starting price of $45,390. Taking a look at the exterior styling, I think the Škoda Superb is a fine-looking car. There's very little round edges. Instead, the Škoda design is opting for more masculine lines and creases. Sometimes Škoda design can be a little bit overdone. Here, though, the Superb has its own identity. It looks quite different to many of the other products from the wider Volkswagen family. On the inside, well, I already mentioned the legroom, and this is well worth another mention, especially when looking at space for rear seat occupants. If you have a look at our review on the Behind the Wheel website, you'll see there's plenty of space in the back for three people to sit. Classified as a large car, Škoda Superb doesn't quite have the same interior width, at least in feel, that you'd find in a traditional Commodore or Falcon, but there's good head and shoulder room and three adults could sit comfortably across that back seat, as I said. The Superb cabin offers very good fit and finish, a huge centre infotainment touchscreen, comfortable seats and decent storage areas too. The test car that I had was fitted with the optional tech pack. Now, that's an extra $4,300, but it brings things like push-button ignition, an upgraded sound system, a powered tailgate and ambient lighting. Full marks to the Škoda designers for giving front seat occupants a height-adjustable centre armrest. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it does help. lift up the comfort. There's a little bit of chrome on the dashboard, but there wasn't anywhere near the sun reflection issues that I found with the Volkswagen Arteon. More details on that soon. There are three engine options available in the 2018 Skoda Superb range. In this entry-grade model, you get a 2-litre turbo petrol that develops 162 kilowatts and 350 newton metres. There's also a 2-litre turbo diesel, and there's a higher output version of the 2-litre turbo petrol, 206 kilowatts and 350 newton metres for that. That's in the all-wheel drive versions. A dual-clutch or DSG transmission comes as standard right across the range. Once again, I was left feeling that perhaps a conventional auto transmission might just make things a little bit better. As I always say, these transmissions just have some idiosyncrasies and take a little bit of getting used to. For example, I don't think they're really responsive enough when you're moving along and you want a lower gear, so you put your foot down. They just take too long, I think, to find the right gear. You get the odd shudder as well, and DSG transmissions can also be very slow to find reverse as well, and that's a bit of an issue when you're trying to do a quick U-turn. The Volkswagen Group are rusted onto the tech, and while it certainly wouldn't be a deal breaker for me, my preference would always be a decent regular auto transmission. Aside from this, I have to say I was pretty much delighted with the on-road characteristics of the Skoda Superb. Lovely steering, a nice ride, good performance. There's not much really not to like. This might be the entry-level model, but there's plenty of standard features, including Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, blind spot monitoring, rear window blinds, which are a great addition, reverse camera, sat-nav, autonomous emergency braking, heated front seats, electric driver's seat, front and rear parking sensors, adaptive cruise control, electric park brake, partial leather seats, and leather steering wheel and transmission selector. Digital radio would be a nice addition. Probably not a great priority for people who live outside of the major cities at this stage, but still, it is a good addition if you are driving in the city to have access to a broader range of radio stations. Well, if the budget allows, I recommend considering the tech pack for the Skoda Superb. It certainly helps to finish off what is an otherwise really pleasant and enjoyable vehicle. There's a full 5-star ANCAP safety rating right across the Skoda Superb range in 2018. So, as we know, there aren't many options left in the large car segment now that the Falcon is gone, the Commodore's downsized to the midsize segment. But Skoda's entry is a nice-looking car that offers a bit of style and sophistication to the mix, reasonable pricing and a great array of standard safety gear. The Czech brand may not be on the list of car buyers' radars, and that remains a great shame, given the strong attributes most of their vehicles boast, including the 2018 Skoda Superb. This is Behind the Wheel, Joel Helms filling in for Chris and Peter. And look, you wouldn't leave the house without deodorant on, or we hope not anyway. So why let your car get around smelling less than clean and fresh? There's a great selection of different air freshener solutions available from the team at Altrex Auto Accessories, including the world-famous Little Trees air fresheners. They're those, obviously, little trees that hang on your rearview mirror. But if you don't want something hanging there, or maybe you have a vehicle like a truck that doesn't have a rearview mirror, then Duo Odor Eliminator Vent Sticks could be a great idea. And there's also the opportunity with the car product of the week to help get a clean and fresh scent towards the rear of your car. This could be a great addition for taxi drivers and Uber drivers, or if you just have, maybe you might have kids in the back, you want to stick one on the rear air conditioning vents. You simply push the clever little devices onto the flaps of your air vents, and they get straight to work. They're available in a range of scents, including vanilla, new car, linen and fresh, and spring air. Order a couple of sets of Duo Odor Eliminator Vent Sticks now, direct from the Altrex Auto Accessories online store, or find them at all good auto parts outlets right across Australia. This week's car product of the week. After the break, Godzilla. The car, that is, not Alan Zervas. Alan tells us all about living with and driving the Nissan GT-R.
The heat is on, and that means you need to do all you can to keep cool. Window tint is what you need on your car windows, and there is a way to do it yourself. With Altrex Window Tint, you can achieve professional results for a fraction of the price of commercial tinting. It's easy to apply and available in two lengths and four shades. Altrex Window Tint blocks harmful UV rays, reduces road glare, and keeps your interior cooler while also adding privacy. And it comes with a 5-year guarantee. Altrex Window Tint is available from local auto accessory retailers and in the online store at altrex.com.au.
Australian families looking for the ideal vehicle for their needs are often left frustrated. Some vehicles seem to tick all the boxes but then cost the earth. Others are well priced but don't have the space or features that families need. Stop compromising, as there is an option that won't leave you wanting more. the new Havel H9, boasting a 180-kilowatt turbo engine, 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity, the Havel H9 just can't be beaten. Visit your local Havel dealership today or havel.com.au.
This is Behind the Wheel, powered by behindthewheel.com.au.
Welcome back to Behind the Wheel. It is really nice to have your company, whether you're listening in via radio or the podcast. Coming up soon, we're going to tell you all about the new Volkswagen Arteon. But right now, let's cross to Alan Zervas, who's had the keys to an excitement machine, a real classic. That's a classic that's still available, brand new in 2018, the Nissan GT-R.
It is an amazing experience. There's no getting away from it. It is an amazing beast of a thing to drive. The acceleration is just extraordinary, but also the handling. The handling is just amazing. The ride's very harsh, but the steering, which by the way is hydraulic, feels very, very precise. When you turn, that car goes with you. And in fact, it almost goes there before you know you want to. But the problem is, after you've been driving it for a while, you kind of feel like you've been beaten up. You just want to get into something that rides nicer and is a little bit less taxing on your nerves. And the DCT, the dual clutch transmission, is lightning fast. But because it's only got 6 speeds, there's a lot of space in between the gears. Now, only the fact that the engine's so powerful that you really don't notice it as much as you would, but an extra couple of gears on the highway would be pretty awesome. DCT has rev matching, which means as you change down, it blips the engine to increase the revs so that when it goes into the lower gear, you don't kind of lurch forward in your seat. And there are 3 drive modes too. So the 3 drive modes are ludicrous, more ludicrous, and death wish. It does get a little pernickety on the worst of roads, but road manners are generally excellent. But remember, this is a track car made for track, and driving it on public roads is almost a secondary concern. I like the interior. It's got a slightly retro feel about it by virtue of the fact that it is actually an old car. The instruments are quite old-fashioned. I mean, there is a reversing camera, and you need it because it is hard to see out the back of. And that tail, the whale tail, is you know, the spoiler's huge. There was something about the dash that really annoyed me. The fact that the central dial where you'd normally expect your speedo to be is the rev counter. The speedo is actually the smaller dial off to the left. Now, you do have a central digital speedo, but it shares a readout. It shares the same space as the speed set for the cruise control, which, by the way, is manual cruise control, so it's not active cruise control. So when you set it to a speed, it temporarily shows you what that speed is. So that's the speed you think you're doing. And of course, you could have by then be doing 20 or 30 or 40 kilometers faster than that. And then it sort of goes back to the speed that you're doing. I found that really annoying. It looks amazing. I mean, it looks fantastic. It reminds me of those old Skylines, you know, that have been around for 10, 20, 30 years. It just has this modern look, but somehow slightly retro. It sits on 20-inch wheels, which are, again, just extraordinary. And the wheels are made of aluminium. Not only are the wheels made of aluminium, but other parts of the car are too. The front and rear spoiler, the front and rear bumper, side sills, rear spoiler and boot lid are carbon fibre. And the bonnet, door skins and wheels are aluminium. And that's part of the reason why it costs so much money, because it's made of so many expensive materials that are not only costly to buy, but costly to build with. Do I think it's worth the money? Yes, because it's difficult to say what other car you'd buy for the money. You could buy a Porsche or whatever, and that would certainly be more luxurious. But it appeals to a kind of person. There's very few drive rates. There's no lane monitoring, no blind spot monitoring, no automatic steering, no automatic parking, no Apple CarPlay. There are very few concessions to modern life. This car's about one thing and one thing only, and that's going fast.
Sounds interesting, doesn't it? The Nissan GT-R. It's still loved to have a drive, despite it sounding like a little bit of a difficult car to live with. We're going to have a look at some really interesting study findings into cars and kids, pets and disabled parking spots soon. But right now, let's have a quick look at the Volkswagen Arteon. And the new Arteon lands into a mid-size passenger car market that you've got to say is red hot with competition. And that means it's up against some really accomplished rivals. Think about cars like the Toyota Camry, Mazda 6, Ford Mondeo, there's the new Commodore, and of course the Skoda Octavia as well. But boosting Volkswagen's chances of making a big impression in this cutthroat segment is an impressive product. But just make sure you wear your sunglasses. I'll explain the sunglasses reference in a moment. In the meantime, a quick look at the exterior of the new Arteon. You've got to say it's a really nice looking car from any angle. There's a real presence about the vehicle. It's got a beefy front. It's got quite chiseled rear wheel arches and a swoopy hatch rear. It's all over one of the most handsome cars in the segment, I believe. On the inside, there's a lot to like about the cabin of the Arteon, and I'll get to those points in a moment. But first, an explanation about the sunglasses. Now, to me, this car feels like it might have been designed in the middle of a German winter. It's not really the most friendly vehicle for driving it under the Australian sun. There's a lot of shiny surfaces on the dashboard, the steering wheel, even the center Volkswagen badge reflects into your face if the sun is just in the right spot. On a warm and sunny day under the Australian sun, well, you find yourself quite dazzled by the reflection. Another reflection issue that could cause you some unhappiness is the reflection of the square surround around the head-up display on the top of the dashboard. It's located directly ahead of the driver, and the grey square is nearly constantly right in your direct line of vision. Other than those complaints, there's a lot to like about the inside of the 2018 Volkswagen Arteon, including fantastic rear legroom, really generously sized cabin storage areas, and fully digital instrument cluster. There's also a huge center infotainment touchscreen, easy to use controls, and the always pleasing height adjustable center armrest, just like what we talked about earlier in the Skoda Superb. And the sexy blue ambient strip lights in the doors, they're a really nice touch as well. The latest addition to the Volkswagen passenger car range, it comes in just the one specification level, R-Line. Standard gear here includes 8-speaker stereo, tilt and reach steering adjust, and a round view camera system, front and rear parking sensors, sat nav, head-up display, as we know, heated and electric front seats, a cooled glove box, push-button ignition, leather seats, a leather steering wheel, and an electric tailgate. Under the bonnet, there's a 206-kilowatt, 350-newton-meter turbocharged 4-cylinder petrol engine. The Arteon gets along very nicely, especially when you engage sports mode. While getting the power to the ground is ably assisted by Volkswagen's 4Motion all-wheel drive tech, I always say that Volkswagen steering is up there with the best of them, and that's no different here in the Arteon. It's really nicely tuned. The Arteon steering manages to bring nice steering feel without upping the steering weight. The drive mode select gives you a lot of choice, particularly with suspension feel, and this enables you to have the car set up however you like it. Comfort mode, you'd have to say, is particularly soft and a bit floaty. You'd come over a speed hump and the car would have a little bounce or two. Sporty is firm, as you'd expect. Normal, the sweet spot right in the middle. And once again here, another Volkswagen product with a full 5-star ANCAP safety rating. And of course, you've got things like autonomous emergency braking, rear cross-traffic alert and fatigue warning, all as standard. Summing it up, the 2018 Volkswagen Arteon is a good vehicle that you'd have to consider over the more expensive cousin, the Audi A4. I think it's actually better than the Audi. It's a stylish, head-turning and conversation-starting car that's comfortable, roomy, and just as at home on the freeway as it is in the suburbs or the city. The performance of the DSG, which has some idiosyncrasies just like the Skoda Superb, does take some shine off. And of course, you do have those reflection issues on the inside. So always make sure you take your sunglasses if driving the Volkswagen Arteon. The prices start from $65,490. A look at the Volkswagen Arteon on Behind the Wheel. After the break, we'll get to those studies and George Harrison along with the car song of the week.
BehindTheWheel.com.au.
Havel's just released a new family 7-seater SUV, the Havel H9. A finalist in the 2017 4x4 Australia Awards, the Havel H9 is an impressive SUV, boasting a 180-kilowatt turbo engine, smooth 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity. The luxurious Havel H9 will take you to the outback and back in complete comfort. It's the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au. motorists are taking more notice than ever about how their car ownership affects the environment. But did you know that simply keeping your car clean can also be environmentally damaging? If you want to do the right thing and keep potentially harmful chemicals out of the drains, then invest in the EcoCar car cleaning range from Altrex Auto Accessories. EcoCar are a range of effective and environmentally safe products that every Australian garage should have. And they contain environmentally friendly ingredients including natural coconut and aloe vera. You can purchase the EcoCar car cleaning range from the Altrex Auto Accessories online store at altrex.com.au.
Where motoring starts. This is Behind the Wheel.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Behind the Wheel. Chris and Peter back with you next week. We'll get to George Harrison very soon and some interesting information about George. He actually had a chance to drive an F1 car, all those details in a moment. But a study out of the UK has found a large percentage of parents are cutting corners on safety when driving with their kids. The research of 2,000 mums and dads found 34%, so more than just over one in three, have allowed their children to travel without a suitable child restraint. Around 37% have driven with someone else's child as a passenger, despite not having a suitable child seat for them. Worryingly, it also emerged 1 in 10 have or would travel a short distance without their child or children safely secured in the vehicle. Worrying findings, aren't they? 16% revealed their little ones have travelled while sitting in the boot. That's unbelievable. 16% have travelled with their child sitting in the boot. More than 1 in 5 perched them on a cushion instead of a suitable car seat. And the study found 32% have driven with their children sitting on someone else's lap. 20% have squeezed their kids into a back seat containing four or more passengers. Those study findings are a major concern out of the UK. And you'd have to think that, unfortunately, you probably most likely find similar results here in Australia. Findings from a new survey indicate more than 2.5 million Brits are flouting the use of disabled parking spots. Among the excuses given by motorists were that they were in a rush, they thought no one would notice, they didn't care, and even that they felt there should be no special parking for permit holders. However, the most common reason was that they simply did not realise it was a disabled parking spot, indicating that more prominent signage might be required at many places. It reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where George parks in the handicapped spot, and that didn't work out too well for Costanza, did it? And in a wide-ranging survey of Americans, 38% of millennial pet owners worry about driving with their dog. Among all demographics, 24% of pet owners leave their dog home because they worry the car is not safe enough for Fido. Many of those surveyed indicated they lack knowledge about the safest way to drive and travel with their four-legged friends. The survey also finding that a majority of Americans, 69%, see their pets as family members. 97% of pet owners drive with their dogs, but many practice unsafe driving habits, including not having safety driving gear for their dogs, letting their dogs ride in the front seat, buckling their dogs into standard seat belts. Well, that wouldn't work very well, would it? And only 5% have built-in pet safety systems in their vehicle. The full results are published in Volvo Reports, Dogs, Cars, and the People Who Love Them. You can find that one with a Google search if you're interested in how best to get around with your dog in the car. And, of course, buy that harness. Do the right thing because the dog's relying on you, I guess, just like the children. In the earlier survey results, it is a bit of a worry, isn't it? This is Behind the Wheel. The finish line is in sight. Well, as we know, George Harrison was a very interesting man. Aside from being a great musician, either with his Beatles friends or on his own, and he was extremely spiritual as well, but he was also a big motorsport fan. Back in the 1970s, Jackie Stewart even gave him a chance to drive an F1 car.
And then to have George come, who's become so keen in Grand Prix motor racing, and now he's taken up driving. I think I'm going to threaten that I'm going to take up playing a guitar if he carries on like this.
How did you get on, George, in your drive? Your drive has just happened.
Yeah, it was really nice, actually. I was a bit dubious about it being surrounded by all these masters. And yesterday in the rain, I had just to get familiar with the car, and I spun out a couple of times. So I was very, very nervous. And especially as John Watson was saying, well, you know, they may be supposed to go in formation, but no racing driver does that. They all will race. And as soon as he dropped the flag, it was like the Indianapolis 500. Well, from where I was sitting, it was. Oh, it was great. You know, it was very nice. The car was a bit old, but then again, so am I.
It's one of your great loves, motor racing.
Yeah, I liked it since I was a kid, and it's a bit more interesting for me now because, you know, with having friends like Jackie, I understand that much more, and I'm a sort of privileged hangers-on club member, so I managed to get to know all the, you know, the backroom sort of stuff that goes on. But, you know, I have to get out of it a bit now because I'm getting to know too much, you know, the politics.
The trouble is now, you see, now that he's driving, he really is the master going faster.
Claim he realized
George Harrison with Faster, the car song of the week on this week's edition of Behind the Wheel. It's been Joel Helms with you looking after the show this week while Chris and Peter take a break for the Easter holidays. They'll be back next week. It's been a great buzz being back with you this week. Take it easy and I'll catch you again soon. Bye-bye.
You've heard us on the radio, now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments, give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
The heat is on, and that means you need to do all you can to keep cool. Window tint is what you need on your car windows, and there is a way to do it yourself. With Altrex window tint, you can achieve professional results for a fraction of the price of commercial tinting. It's easy to apply and available in two lengths and four shades. Altrex window tint blocks harmful UV rays, reduces road glare, and keeps your interior cooler while also adding privacy. And it comes with a 5-year guarantee. Altrex window tint is available from local auto accessory retailers and in the online store at altrex.com.au.